Normally you ring the bell and you have at least half a minute's wait before the door opens. But this Dane was just like a jack in the box. He pressed the bell and out she popped. It made him jump. She was about 45 or 50 years old, and the moment she saw him, she gave him a warm, welcoming smile. "Please come in," she said pleasantly. She stepped aside, holding the door wide open, and Billy found himself automatically starting forward into the house. The compulsion, or more accurately, the desire to follow after her into that house, was extraordinarily strong. "I saw the notice in the window," he said, holding himself back. "Yes, I know. I was wondering about a room." "It's all ready for you, my dear," she said. She had a round pink face and very gentle blue eyes. "I was on my way to the Bell and Dragon," Billy told her, "but the notice in your window just happened to catch my eye." "My dear boy," she said, "why don't you come in out of the cold?" "How much do you charge?" 5 and 6 pence a night, including breakfast." It was fantastically cheap. It was less than half of what he had been willing to pay. "If that is too much," he added, "then perhaps I can reduce it just a tiny bit. Do you desire an egg for breakfast? Eggs are expensive at the moment. It would be 6 pence less without the egg." 5 and 6 pence is fine," he answered. "I should like to stay here very much." "I knew you would. Do come in." She seemed terribly nice. She looked exactly like the mother of one's best school friend welcoming one into the house to stay for the Christmas holidays. Billy took off his hat and stepped over the threshold. "Just hang it there," she said, "and let me help you with your coat." There were no other hats or coats in the hall. There were no umbrellas, no walking sticks, nothing. "We have it all to ourselves," she said, smiling at him over her shoulder as she led the way upstairs. "You see, it isn't very often I have the pleasure of taking a visitor into my little nest." "The old girl is slightly dotty," Billy told himself. "But at 5 and 6 pence a night, who gives a damn about that?" "I should have thought you'd be simply swamped with applicants," he said politely. "Oh, I am, my dear. I am, of course I am. But the trouble is that I'm inclined to be just a teeny-weeny bit choosy in particular, if you see what I mean." "Ah, yes. But I'm always ready. Everything is always ready, day and night, in this house, just on the off chance that an acceptable young gentleman will come along. And it is such a pleasure, my dear, such a very great pleasure. Now and again I open the door and I see someone standing there who is just exactly right." She was halfway up the stairs and she paused with one hand on the stair rail. She turned her head and smiling down at him with pale lips. "Like you," she added, and her blue eyes travelled slowly all the way down the length of Billy's body to his feet and then up again. On the first floor landing, she said to him, "This floor is mine." They climbed up a second flight. "And this one is all yours," she said. "Here's your room. I do hope you'll like it." And she took him into a small but charming front bedroom, switching on the light as she went in. "The morning sun comes right in the window, Mr. Perkins. It is Mr. Perkins, isn't it?" "No," he said, "it's Weaver." "Mr. Weaver, how nice. I've put the water bottle between the sheets to air them out, Mr. Weaver. It's such a comfort to have a hot water bottle in a strange bed with clean sheets. Don't you agree? And you may light the gas fire at any time if you feel chilly." "Thank you," said Billy. "Thank you ever so much." He noticed that the bedspread had been taken off the bed and that the bedclothes had been neatly turned back from one side, all ready for someone to get in. "I'm so glad you appeared," she said, looking earnestly into his face. "I was beginning to get worried." "That's all right," Billy answered brightly. "You mustn't worry about me." He put his suitcase on the chair and started to open it. "And what about supper, my dear? Did you manage to get anything to eat before you came here?" "I'm not a bit hungry, thank you," he said. "I think I'll just go to bed as soon as possible, because tomorrow I've to get up rather early and report to the office." "Very well, then, I'll leave you now so you can unpack. But before you go to bed, would you be kind enough to pop into the sitting room on the ground floor and sign the book? Everyone has to do that because it's the law of the land, and we don't want to go breaking any laws at this stage in the proceedings, do we?" She gave him a little wave of the hand and went out quickly of the room and closed the door.